CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. SpaceX, Boca Chica, Texas. The image on the cameras all around demonstrate that number 28 of the prototype of Starship and that Super Heavy on the pad, ready to go. But Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. He's also a very careful analyst of the difficulties that SpaceX is having these last years in particular. So here we go again. Bob, Starship prototype number 28, the static fire test is complete. What does that mean? Let's remind ourselves, Bob.
Yes, they're getting ready for the third test launch of the Starship Super Heavy heavy lift rocket, more powerful than the Saturn V. And both the Starship and Super Heavy are prototypes. They're not the final version. These are engineering tests. So the prototype number 28, and SpaceX does this with every launch of Falcon 9 or Falcon Heavy. Prior to the launch, they do what they call a static fire test. And that means they do the dress rehearsal countdown, fuel the whole thing, and then fire its rockets for about 5-6 seconds. But they hold it to the launch pad so it doesn't go anywhere. And that's to make sure all the engines work, all the fueling systems work, everything is functioning, so that when they do the countdown, there's much less chance of anything going wrong. So they've completed they can't do a full duration static fire test of Starship once it's stacked on top of Super Heavy. So they do it beforehand on a separate launch, a little launch pad, just for the purposes of testing its engines. And they've done that. It was a success completely. I linked to a video of it. It's only about 7 seconds long, but you see that they fire the engines for 5 seconds after the full dress rehearsal countdown, and so Starship is ready to go. Super Heavy, that's prototype number 10, is moved to the launch pad area. We can expect sometime in the next week or so that they will do a static fire test of Super Heavy on the launch pad of its 33 engines. Once they've done that, they will then stack Starship on top. And at that moment in time, I guarantee SpaceX is going to be ready to launch for its third mission, and I think they'll probably be ready by mid-January. The only other thing that could hold it up, from SpaceX's perspective, is SpaceX has to complete its own investigation of what went wrong or failed during the second test fire, orbital test, in November. And that's just they need to figure out what went wrong so they can apply the knowledge to future prototypes and maybe even apply it to this set of prototypes. And Elon Musk, after that mid-November flight, within a week, said they should be ready in 3 to 4 weeks. Now, he always sets short timelines, but he also sets timelines that are not unreasonably short. And so, according to him, they'd be ready about mid-late December, and it looks like they're going to probably be ready in early January. Will they launch, John? That is the question. And as I predicted in April, after the first launch, I also predicted before the April launch, that they were going to be held up significantly by government intransigence. And for the last 2 years, since Elon Musk declared he was now voting Republican and predicted there'd be a, quote, dirty tricks campaign against him, unquote, there has been a dirty campaign. The whole administrative state, including the Department of Justice, the Federal Trade Commission, Securities and Exchange Commission, Federal Communications Commission, Justice Department again, FAA, Fish and Wildlife, Transportation, these agencies have all instituted investigations against Musk. And on top of it all, they have acted to delay launches of Starship Super Heavy. The previous launch was delayed more than 2 months because the FAA would not issue a launch license, even though there was no reason for them not to issue a launch license. And on top of that, Fish and Wildlife delayed it as well because Fish and Wildlife, of course, knows everything about rockets and must have a say on whether a rocket should launch or not. I must add, with Fish and Wildlife, shortly after the April launch, they announced that they said in print, no damage was done. But they then took 7 months to put that into paperwork and officially approve another launch. So we're now sitting here with a mid-January launch, and I fully expect, I personally am predicting that it will not happen earlier than March, and it will not be because of anything else to do with SpaceX.
I want to make an observation about SpaceX because, you know, my brother sends me all these videos of all these amateurs who are watching SpaceX all the time. So I watched one 24-hour period, all speeded up, you know, makes it go really fast. They work 24-hour clock. They work in all weathers. There was a huge rainstorm that hit southern Texas. It was torrential. It was beyond that. It was bucketing. They kept working. The lights were on. Little carts running around. The crews would show up for the, I guess they have a midnight shift. I don't know.
No, they actually have. They have three. They have set up their work schedule now, not only to make it easier on the employees not to have to work 80 hours weeks, but on top of that, so that they can have three shifts going continuously. And they set it up so they can do this, and so they work very efficiently and very fast.
And it reminds me, Bob, do you remember when Worlds Collide, the great 1960s space movie, and how they worked to build the escape rocket before the other planet hit, and how they were working feverishly all the time in three shifts, and the young people were going to draw straws to who left and who didn't? It reminds me of that. As if they're escaping.
That's old-fashioned American business. You know, when you got to work fast, you work fast. You make it work, and that's what SpaceX is doing. And they've got the investment capital to afford three crews, you know, full-time, 24-hour, three crews working all the time, because there are a lot of people who are investing money in this. But they're not going to launch on time. Now, I hope I'm wrong about my prediction of the government slowing them down, but everything that's coming out of the administrative state in Washington is telling me that they're not interested in allowing free enterprise to function freely. And I'll give you another story. The White House this week issued its policy framework as its effort to lobby for its own space regulatory proposal. Now, a little history. There's a bill in Congress to update the 2004 Commercial Space Act to deal with the newer industry that exists today. And that bill was worked out with Congress and the industry. I'm not sure I'm in favor of the bill as it's written, but the bill that has written has passed the House committee, was worked out with the industry and the industry's approval. Very shortly before the House committee approved that bill, the White House issued its own proposal for that bill, which was completely different than what was agreed to by the industry, and in fact has been heavily criticized not only by the industry itself, but by politicians from both sides of the political aisle, Democrats as well. The White House plan would split the regulatory framework between the Commerce and Transportation departments and create a very complicated regulatory situation in the government. You have to go to multiple agencies. And so the White House issued this week a policy framework to lobby for their idea, where they stated repeatedly how they really want to cut red tape and help private enterprise. But their proposal includes a new layer of bureaucracy. They would create what they call a private sector space activities interagency steering group, which would work in consultation with all the other agencies the White House wants involved, the FCC, the Department of Defense, Energy, Homeland Security, Interior, State, NASA, the Office of National Intelligence, Office of Science and Technology, and any other federal agencies. So what you're basically doing is they're trying to lobby that their system isn't going to hurt private enterprise, it's going to cut red tape, but in order to do it, they're going to add an extra layer of bureaucracy that's going to increase it. So that's their idea. That's going to really slow things down.
Bob, did you say Homeland Security?
I did say Homeland Security. They mentioned that in their own language.
How?
I was quoting.
How? What?
All right. Rockets are missiles, and so State Department is involved, and Homeland Security is in the State Department. So that's probably the connection. But the point here is that rather than try to streamline and consolidate the system so that it's more efficient, the White House is adding layers and spreading it out. And that's going to make a nightmare. And as I say, this is a zombie end-of-the-world horror film with bureaucratic zombies appearing endlessly from all directions, according to the White House. Now, the original bill has passed the House committee. The House hasn't voted on it. The Senate hasn't voted on anything. There are, once again, Democrats in the Senate who are opposed to the White House proposal. So I don't know if this is going to go anywhere, but it just indicates the administrative state in the federal executive branch is really eager to expand its control over everything, as they've been doing with Musk. And secondly, the White House passed, Congress has passed a very short-term extension of the 2004 Commercial Space Act, a part of it which gave what they called a learning period to the industry, in which the FAA could not regulate space operations significantly. That learning period was supposed to be, well, we're learning how to do things. It's experimental. Am I describing Starship Super Heavy, John, when I say that? Of course. It's experimental. You should not heavily regulate. You should treat it as experimental launches and let them work without any regulatory framework. And that's what that bill in 2004 had passed, and the learning period has been extended several times. So Congress passed a short-term 3-month extension last week. And what I point out is that even though they've given this little extension, it's pretty irrelevant because based on what's going on with Starship in space at SpaceX, the FAA is ignoring that learning period. They're now treating all launches as operational airline launches that require investigations after every mishap. And that's, of course, against law. But it doesn't matter. This is the administrative state now running things, Sean, and it's really bad.
ULA's Vulcan rocket is stacked and ready for what?
All right, the Vulcan rocket is 4 years behind schedule. It's ULA's replacement of its Atlas V and Delta family of rockets. It's supposed to be cheaper. It's supposed to help them compete with SpaceX. They have contracts for a lot of launches, so if they get this going, they could save the company. So the Vulcan rocket is finally stacked in the assembly building, ready for its first launch. That first launch will happen on January 8th now. What it's launching is interesting. Most first launches of a rocket usually carry dummy payloads because they don't want to risk anything. But this Vulcan rocket's going to carry a payload. It's carrying Astrobotics Peregrine Lunar Lander. I've got a picture on Behind the Black showing where on the moon it's going to land. It's going to land in the northwest quadrant of the visible face of the moon, near on the edge of several of the Mare lava regions. And so this launch carries great risks not only for ULA but for Astrobotic, which is a private company that has been hired by NASA to put its payloads on the moon. It also has some private payloads on this lander, and they are depending on the lander to get to the moon. And that now is all dependent now on ULA's launch of the Vulcan rocket.
Is that a rover or just going to sit there?
It carries a mini rover on it, but it's mostly an engineering mission. It's going to do research, obviously, if it lands, but the real test is it's really an engineering test. Astrobotics first lander, they want to see if they can land on the moon. Of course, they got to get into orbit, and that's where ULA is the risk. But if they get into orbit and they'll try to be a private company that put a lander on the moon, or a privately built lunar lander. That's the goal. And that's so any science to get out of it is good, but it's like Pragyan from India. It's like Hakuto R from iSpace, private company in Japan. It's like Bereshit 1 from Israel. These are all really mostly engineering tests to see if you can do it so that you can follow up with really more sophisticated research.
Another delay for Intuitive Machines' Nova C lunar lander. Why?
All right, this is another lunar lander from a different private company called Intuitive Machines, American private company. It was going to be launched on a Falcon Heavy rocket. It was going to be launched on a Falcon 9 rocket by SpaceX. It was really going to originally going to launch in December, late in December, but because the SpaceX and the Space Force had to reschedule a Falcon Heavy launch too late in the month, that impinged, and since it uses the same launch pad as the Falcon 9 launch for Intuitive Machines Nova C, they decided for scheduling reasons to push back the Nova C launch to February. They figured that it takes time to reconfigure the launch pad from a Falcon Heavy to a Falcon 9 launch, and they figured they wouldn't have enough time. And so to make sure they have enough time and there wouldn't be any conflicts, the Nova C lunar lander, which is going to land near the south pole of the moon, not at the south pole, near the south pole, its launch is now delayed until February. And actually, the way things are working, both Nova C and Peregrine from Astrobotic, they will actually be arriving on the moon almost at the same time, because even if Astrobotic launches sooner, it's taking a much longer route to get to the moon. So they'll both be arriving sometime in February, John.
Is that Super Heavy? Is that the X-37B that was delayed? that's holding them up?
Yes, it was the X-37B Falcon Heavy launch that was delayed for reasons, technical reasons that they have not told us. It's now been rescheduled December 28th, and that didn't leave enough time for the Falcon 9 launch, which was actually going to be mid-January. I said December, but that was wrong. It was mid-January, but they didn't have enough time, so they moved it to February to give them enough time to reconfigure the launch pad.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. We're going to Mars. I'm John Black.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.